This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. The work of police departments around the country has been under particular scrutiny in the last year. Some high-profile shootings by police and of police have strained the relationship between some departments and the communities they're sworn to protect.
Milwaukee has not been immune from that trend, but a new book illustrates that the Milwaukee Police Department has been nationally significant almost since it was formed in the 19th century. Policing in Milwaukee, A Strategic History is written by George Kelling, who has served in a consulting role to several police departments, including Milwaukee's. He's also a professor emeritus at Northeastern and Rutgers University. He joins us on the line from northern Wisconsin. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, you have consulted in and studied police forces in a number of places. Would you say that Milwaukee is an especially useful place to look at police history versus any other large city in the country?
Well, I think so, because Milwaukee was a very unique department, especially during the first two-thirds of the 20th century.
And when you look back at, say, even the first half of the 20th century, you point out that many people pointed to Milwaukee as an example of an especially effective police department. Why was it seen as such a strong force?
Well, I think, first of all, the first thing that put Milwaukee as a unique place was that they gave, shortly after the turn of the century, they gave the Milwaukee chief of police tenure, and that is basically the chief would have appointment for life. The second thing was that they gave the chief complete control over policy and practices in an effort to keep politics, which had been poisonous for policing throughout the country during the early 20th century, to keep politics from influence in policing. They gave complete discretion to the chief of police in Milwaukee. That was considered to be a model for how to administer and how to sponsor police departments in the United States.
Were there other cities that then looked at Milwaukee's example and shaped their own departments after what had been done here?
Oh, yes. I think Milwaukee and Cincinnati were generally considered the model departments to visit during the first 50 years of the 20th century.
But when you look at the historical record, did the effectiveness of the force deserve its reputation, or was there also something about the community itself that lent itself to what seemed like effective police work?
Well, that's always a debatable issue. Milwaukee was generally considered a orderly place with low levels of crime, and its police department was considered to be a model police department as a consequence of that. But observers also indicated that what they saw was a city in which law-abiding citizens were quite pleased with the city and lived together quite peacefully. So I think you had a combination of an orderly, lawful city and at the same time a progressive police department.
Well, and so, as you say, chiefs of police for a good long time had nearly complete autonomy in Milwaukee. And while that made them independent of, say, the political winds, was there also a downside? How did having that relatively little oversight and all that autonomy affect the department's ability to evolve?
Well, I think you put your finger on it when you said the accountability, and that is that basically the chief was unaccountable to anyone, was not accountable to the mayor, was not accountable to the city council. And basically, as long as it was within the law and it couldn't be cause for firing, the chief was really king of the hill. And that was the case in Milwaukee up through the mid-1980s.
Well, and so at what point did this become a real challenge? Because, I mean, you know, one of the things that you write is that, you know, clearly society was changing even as the police department was not necessarily changing.
Well, yes, it became a problem basically under the reign of Harold Breyer. And that was that very early in Breyer's administration, he made it clear that he was listening to no one. He knew policing best. He would protect the officers from any outside influences, and Milwaukee became a relatively isolated police department. And a lot of citizens were quite satisfied with this. They felt that Breyer was, although authoritarian and nonetheless created an orderly and lawful place. And so there was a polarized attitude towards Harold Pryor throughout most of his administration.
Now, one of the really interesting points you make in a number of places in this book is that we shouldn't overlook the changes that came about when the police stopped doing foot patrols. Why do you see that as such a pivotal moment and maybe representative of a larger issue?
Well, I think it's typical of when you apply technology. I mean, automobiles were at the edge of technology at one particular point, and people didn't think it would make much difference that if you put police in cars rather than have them walk foot patrol, that they could cover more territory. It was more convenient for the officers, and it was easier to supervise officers in cars. And we didn't understand that, in effect, that when you put police in cars, you really isolated police from the community and a lot of community desires. And so inadvertently, a tactic of riding around in cars changed the overall strategy of policing, and that is that policing moved from being a preventive force integrated into the community to a law enforcement force, and that is rather than try and prevent crime, they responded to crime after it occurred. And that was congruent with the development of, first of all, the radio and the telephone, and then later on 911, and then computer-aided dispatch. And so police moved from being an integral part of the community to being a response organization, riding around in cars waiting for something to happen.
This is a huge philosophical change. Do you think police departments, and Milwaukee in particular, was the department aware that this change in philosophy was happening as it was going on, or is it just what kind of resulted?
No, it was kind of what resulted. It was an unanticipated consequence of purposive social action, to use that phrase. And that is that nobody really... It made sense. Riding around in cars, you could get to places quicker. You could cover more territory. It was intuitively very reasonable, but we forgot that in that process, police officers literally depoliced, or police departments depoliced city streets. And that is that it's one thing to have a police officer walking down the street. Citizens feel that officer is there for them. When a police car goes by, the feeling is they're on their way to do something someplace else rather than really being integral to this particular location at this particular time.
Right. You're right that the police kind of thought that by having cars that were going all over the place, they would be seen as omnipresent, but that
was
really not how they were received.
That's right. It was, in a sense, to coin a phrase, in a sense it turned out rather than being omnipresence, kind of omni-absence, and that is you never knew when a police officer was nearby.
Well, one of the other interesting issues you write about is the department's longstanding reliance on detective culture. Why was that significant? And what do you mean for people who aren't familiar with the concept?
Well, what I meant by detective culture was the model for what policing was all about. And that was for within policing, it turned out from about the 1930s on, based on the work of J. Edgar Hoover and others, really getting ahead in policing meant becoming a detective. Now, we do want good detectives. We do want good criminal investigations. But again, understand that a detective responds to crime after it occurs. We want them to, and that's important. But the fact that the detective orientation, that is responding after the fact, became the culture of police departments throughout the country, and the model of the good police officer was the detective, and the police officer was kind of a lackey who worked on behest of the criminal investigator or the detective, and that culture reduced the status of patrol to being an ancillary force that dealt with the minor problems, disorder and stuff like that. So in many respects, while unintentional, again, it did have the impact of denigrating patrol and upgrading detectives. And most of the research about the criminal investigation, at least during the 1960s and 70s, suggested that the impact of criminal investigation within police department was much less important than what was generally thought.
So basically, you know, it created this kind of pecking order.
Precisely. And in Milwaukee, You had to become an acting, up until the 1970s, you had to become an acting detective for a couple of years before you could take the civil service exam. So there was a feeling, especially among a lot of patrol officers, that what would happen was, without civil service protection, people would be appointed acting detective on the basis of who they knew or having a godfather rather than on the basis of merit, which supposedly civil service exams were supposed to establish. But you couldn't take the exam, again, unless you were an acting detective for a couple of years.
Well, and so, as you say, much of the changes that go on in society go on as Harold Breyer serves as chief of police. And you said, I think, before that one of the things that happened was Milwaukee became more and more isolated in terms of its police force and its relationship with the community. Harold Breyer leaves office in the mid-1980s. We flash forward a long time and Chief Flynn takes over. But what about the intervening period? What would you say was we ought to consider when we look at the various chiefs that came between the time Harold Breyer leaves and Edward Flynn gets here?
Well, first of all, the whole social ecology of the position of police department or the position of a police department in Milwaukee changed. And that was suddenly starting with Czernik in 1984-85. Suddenly the Fire and Police Commission was a powerful force, and they were feeling their oats in terms of establishing policy. And this was new to the police department and new to Czernik, Chief Czernik. Also, the Common Council became a more important force, and the mayor became more important. So you had this learning how to deal with the new political realities of the change in the law that made the Fire and Police Commission the policy-setting organ within the city of Milwaukee. And it wasn't until Chief Haggerty came that those relationships really got solidified. And that is, the Chief Haggerty seemed to understand did understand that the old days of Harold Breyer being king of the hill were gone, and you had to negotiate in ways that you didn't have to in the past. You could not set policy without working extensively with the Fire and Police Commission and being aware of the role of the City Council and their input as well. So these were traumatic times in Milwaukee, and these were times of great social change as well. And the whole issue of getting minorities onto the department became real. That led to legal action, that led to quotas being established, which demoralized the union opposition. And so this was a trying period starting in about 1985, well into the 21st century.
Well, and as the 21st century has gone along, there has been some reverting to more community-oriented policing, which is, you know, not what they called it back in the days of foot patrols, but what it basically amounted to. And this has changed a great deal under Chief Flynn's administration, realizing that he is still serving in the role of chief. What are the measures by which you think we ought to evaluate the current state of things?
Well, I think there are a variety of things. Of course, you want to be looking at what's happening to crime. But I think as well that when we evaluate police, we have to think, are the police just? And that is, are they fair? Are they policing in unbiased ways? And I think this is the big question that's being asked at the present time. I think Milwaukee currently is, after a wonderful year last year of 84 homicides, is well above that already this year and is struggling. I think that's an indicator, but it also reflects on the community as well. But I think you want to use crime as one metric, but justice, efficiency, responsiveness to the community, the involvement of other agencies of the community, I think those are the indicators that you want to be looking for as well. I think you can go all the way back. I mean, when Chief Czernik took over, he immediately began a program in foot patrol. He worked hard to implement foot patrol. I think he understood that he had to move towards the community. But at that time, all of policing was tentative in trying to figure out how to do this. Chief Areola came in, and Chief Areola was a staunch advocate of community policing, but he ran into three problems. There had never been an outsider before, and the union bitterly opposed him. The second thing he ran into was the crack epidemic, which Milwaukee was completely unprepared for. And then the third thing was the Dahmer case. Those things really interfered with his attempts to implement community policing. And Chief Jones worked to implement community policing. But again, the struggles that they had were struggles that were had throughout the United States in police departments because of the shift from the old strategy of riding around in cars, police know best, we investigate crimes after they occur. That culture was very, very strong, and attempts to undo that culture and replace it with an orientation. You have to have partners. You got to work with the community. You make decisions locally, close to the community. Those are tough steps to take, and it was uncharted paths for most police departments.
You have studied this issue and the Milwaukee Police Department itself for quite a long time. But even so, as you sat down to research this and write this history, was there anything that especially surprised you when you kind of looked at it in this kind of from this bird's eye view?
Well, I think for me it was a refresher course. I knew that the Milwaukee Police Department had been an important police department during the first half of the 20th century. What I was unfamiliar with was the leadership that the Milwaukee Police Department had in community relations during and right after World War II, and that is the leading department in developing community relations after the riots of the 1940s, the Detroit riots, the New York riots, the Zoot Suit riots in Los Angeles. Milwaukee and the Chief Kluczewski led in terms of the development of training materials for police departments, and Milwaukee was generally viewed nationally as the leader in the development of community relations, which was one of the precursors ultimately to the development of community policing. And I think that the extent of that leadership surprised me.
Well, George Kelling, it is a really interesting history to consider, and I thank you so much for sharing some of it with us.
Thank you for having me.
George Kelling's new book is called Policing in Milwaukee, A Strategic History. It's published by Marquette University Press. Kelling is a Milwaukee native. He holds a master's from UWM, and he's now a professor emeritus at Northeastern University in Boston and Rutgers University in New Jersey.
During our interview, Kelling talked about longtime Milwaukee Police Chief Harold Breyer, who was the last chief to enjoy a virtual lifetime appointment. That changed in the mid-80s when oversight of the MPD was given over to the Fire and Police Commission and to the Milwaukee City Council. From the archives, here's Chief Harold Breyer speaking in 1984 in opposition to the so-called Breyer Bill.
There's no way that a part-time commission with no police experience or expertise, no working day knowledge of the department can run a department such as the Milwaukee Police Department. It just can't be done. I don't know how they can set policy or procedure for the department or how they can make rules for the department if you don't have the day-to-day operation. You can't run a department like ours long distance or by remote control. You have to be actively involved, and you have to be actively involved 24 hours a day. And then for the commission to be able to issue directives to the chief and the chief must implement, again, I say that this could take in assignments, transfers, promotions, disciplinary actions, and even the kinds of arrests that would be made. And it just doesn't make good sense. And as I said, it'll destroy the department. It's not good for the department. It's not good for the citizens or the community to have this kind of a situation.
Former Milwaukee Police Chief Harold Breyer speaking in 1984.